Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the preponderance of the hour by our very dear friend, Mr. Paige Tyler. He is our 12-step ministry guy and guru. Brother Paige joins us in just a moment or two. But first, we bring in the Apostle Paul, courtesy of his second letter to the Corinthians, the third chapter. We read the following. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I very much appreciate, as we shared last time, the motif of letter writing. I'm one of the last of the great letter writers. I love drafting handwritten notes. I love typing out lengthy epistles, always personalized. I'm not a guy who likes these Christmas letters that we all receive. We get the same letter. It's been copied 1,000 times, and my name's handwritten on it. I appreciate the intent of those sending it, but I am much more inclined towards more personalized communications. I want you to know if you are a Christian, and I want you to know if you are giving serious consideration to becoming a Christian. I was so blessed, if I may add, by way of interjection, just the other day, a gentleman with whom I have been having ongoing rapport and conversation, we had an opportunity to share together, and I had a good 15 minutes to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this man who is not by any stretch of the imagination a believing Christian. He was very open to my talk. I had prepared the way by God's grace. We had established rapport. He understood I wasn't trying to force anything upon him. We had a very gracious, open, and constructive conversation. But at the core of my witness to him is that we are given the privilege of entering into a very direct, very meaningful, very personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And therefore, in sharing with this man, I wanted first to have a very deep and abiding, meaningful, personal friendship with him. And the Bible tells us that this is how it plays out. The use or motif of letter writing. We are personal letters from God, one to the other. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of imagery. So Paul says here, please, do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation. I pray of my church that they can say of me, that they can be unto themselves who they are, that they can be for me a letter of recommendation. 35 and a half years of faithful, albeit imperfect service. I pray that they can write me with their hearts and minds a letter of recommendation. This is to be written on the heart, known by all, read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit, by the Spirit of the living God. The greatest compliment I can pay to anyone is to say that in you I see the beauty of Christ. In you I see imprinted on your countenance, and I hear from your lips a communication from God simply by virtue of who you are. You know, I'm very blessed to be doing this broadcast today, one with my very dear friend of 20 years standing. We have been partners in ministry for that length of time, Brother Paige Tyler, my dear friend, Mr. Frank, who produces this broadcast for us. He's as gracious a man. I'm not meaning to embarrass him. It's my privilege to work with these men. We have personal rapport, and I believe very meaningfully so. I pray that's what I have with each and every one of you who listens to this broadcast. The recent sampling audience, courtesy of the Nielsen ratings, tells me that there are 4,100 of you listening right now. I want to have a direct encounter with each and every one of you, and I pray that you can be my letter of recommendation. When you attend to this broadcast, you know that you are receiving the Word of God, not from one who is perfect, far from it. I am as fallible as they come, as foible as they come. I can frustrate you to no end with my foibles, but I pray that I'm always faithful to the task of speaking and holding forth the love and truth of Jesus Christ. Now, I can't do this by myself, because as the Apostle Paul goes on to say, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. My confidence in doing what I'm given to do is never in myself. It is always a confidence from Christ, but before any of you. Now, I have a small, lovely little fellowship of 20 to 30 people. I have an adjunct congregation of another 20 to 30 people. I have a reading audience of, I'd say, about 150 individuals. And now a vastly larger, God's grace and praise, radio audience. But you're not my first audience. My congregation is not my first audience. First and foremost, I have an audience of one, and he is God. So here again, what Paul says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Each and every one of us, we live out our lives first and foremost before God. It is God who is sovereign over us, even if we don't acknowledge it, even if we don't surrender to it or to him. He is sovereign. He is judge. We all will face judgment one day. We will all go before the bar of divine judgment, and we will be either judged outside of Jesus Christ, God have mercy, and there is at that point no mercy, pure judgment, or we may be judged, God's grace in Christ, where there is fullness of mercy to be had. God in his mercy is waiting and wants no one to perish. God is merciful by nature, but he will have a limit when he has had enough with human depravity, human iniquity and sin. Praise God, we are not there yet. All the more I share this message with each and every one of you. Paul goes on, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Brother Tyler will no doubt concur with this when we pick up in just a few moments, but in order to accomplish and to make strides by way of the utilization of the 12-step ministry, I don't think you can do it on your own. Clearly built into the program, at the core of the dictums, is that we must surrender to and humble ourselves before God and give ourselves over to him. This is the same in Christian ministry. It will be the same with the applications of your lives. Surrender to God. He will make you competent to live a new life, as he makes me competent to be a minister of what the Word of God calls a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, because the letter kills. The Spirit of God, he gives life. He utilizes the Word. After all, he drafted it. He inspired it. He manufactured it. He continues to see that it makes its way all the way around the world. The Word of God has life. It is living and active. It will last longer than will the heavens themselves. So the presence and the operative power of the Holy Spirit doesn't diminish the letter of the Word. It gives life to it. It gives meaning and substance to it. We can breathe the love of Christ as we endeavor to ground our lives in the truth of the gospel. So you see, to be a competent of this new covenant, it is my privilege, in accordance with God's grace, to tell you that God loves you, that Christ died for you out of love for you, that Christ arose from the dead so that we ourselves, by way of his love, could have new life in him. And yes, there's a day when he will return so that he can take everyone who loves him back to be with him where he is and where will ever be. This is the message of the gospel. I only know it by way of God's grace. I'm only able to live it by way of God's grace. I'm only able to share it by way of God's grace. God making me competent. God allowing me sufficiency. God giving me confidence in Christ, first before him and now before all of you. God bless each of you. I am so grateful to have this relationship. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. Please know, friends, I love you as Christ enables me to love. Please be blessed, and we invite Brother Paige Tyler to join us on the other end of the commercial break. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. We are joined 2 weeks in a row. What a great blessing this is, and I mean that with sobriety and with delight, to have Brother Paige Tyler, our 12-step expert. Brother Tyler, welcome to the broadcast. Are you an expert with the 12 steps?
That I am. I'm an expert with 12 steps. It's easy to get to be an expert with the 12 steps, and that is all you got to do is stay alive and live them.
Could we say that you're an expert at reading them and imparting them, but trying to live them, you're still at it, right?
Still struggling.
Brother, join the club.
Yep.
We have arrived at step 7.
Yes, we have.
Tell us about it.
Last week, we left you at a cliffhanger because we were at step 6, and I have a hard time in my mind ever separating step 6 and step 7. They are like, love and marriage, horse and carriage, and they go together. They're a step that belongs, the two steps that belong together. You can't separate the two of them. One of them, we were entirely ready to have God remove all our defects of character last week. Then this week, we very quickly asked God to remove. We humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Now, notice we have two steps to just deal with the ridding ourselves of our shortcomings. So last week, we became ready. So everybody's been working at it hard all week long. And now this week, we're ready. And now we're ready to remove them, but we can't get rid of them. Biggest fallacy I've ever seen is the people who try to get rid of their own shortcomings, try to correct themselves. They are going to fix that. I know what my problems are, and I'm going to fix them. That is so foolish. I mean, I know what my problems are, and I still keep doing them over and over and over again. So what's the matter? I know what that. I know they're wrong. I can be in a third person watching myself doing something that I absolutely don't want to do anymore.
Well, may I put it this way, brother? If you don't like your nose, you don't try to fix it yourself. You go to a plastic surgeon, right?
Exactly.
If you have cancer in your body, you don't extract it yourself with a pair of scissors, and you go to an oncologist and a surgeon,
exactly.
Right?
If you have an appendicitis, you don't try and extract it on your own.
Yeah, there you are.
You know, you go to a doctor, a surgeon, and have the foul organ removed. You cannot do this on your own. So therefore, since step 7, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcoming. And that's the gist of the step. Seems really really easy, doesn't it? Now the scripture that goes with it says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So anything that if we go to God fully confessing our sins and repenting of that sin, it's up to Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and purify us, remove it from all unrighteousness, remove us from our unrighteous states. But it requires, He's not coming in with the 12-step mafia and holding you down and forcing you to get rid of your shortcomings. You have to first become willing to let go of them, and then you have to ask God to remove them.
Well, I like the sentence in the book that you've provided us, the 12 steps for Christians, under step 7. This is a very succinct sentence. We work this step on our knees. So we're connecting ourselves to God, who has extended the bridge. To do this broadcast, I had to plug my microphone into the UBS portal. I had to plug my camera into the same portal for you and our dear friend Frank to see one another, to ask God for help. I have to be connected to Him. He has provided.
Exactly.
He Christ, if you will, is the UBS portal. I don't mean to sound vulgar, but the cross is the bridge, isn't it?
Exactly, the cross is the bridge, and that's a good analogy. You know, being the USB port, plugging yourself in to the USB port is the same thing as plugging yourself in to the spiritual conduit which God has always made available to mankind. Our problem is that we're standing there with the plug in our hands and we won't plug it into the port.
Yeah.
So we are the ones who are separated from God. God is not separated from us. The whole point of the 12 steps is to get you connected, reconnected, is really what the book says, reconnected with a spirit that's greater than you. Reconnected with God.
Paige.
Then once you're done that.
No, forgive me for interrupting, not my intent, but the thought jumps out. Have you ever met a little kid, Daddy, I need help, and then you try to give him the help, and the little kid's going to do it himself? They know what they're going to do, right? We're like little kids who don't want to hand over the reins for instruction.
Exactly. Fix my bike, but I don't want to give you the bike to fix.
Right.
And God is a gentleman. He's like, okay, you just keep right on riding the broken bike until you're ready to get off the bike and let me fix it.
But you know, whenever my granddaughter, she's now 16 and a half, and in fact,
oh my God.
She's growing up, and we live together with her mummy. But I remember, you know, anytime she asked me to help, I was happy to help. And if she didn't ask me and I found out later she needed me, I would be hurt.
Yeah.
God wants us to ask Him.
He does. And He's hurt that we don't turn to Him.
Yeah, I agree.
He's making Himself available to us all the time. And He's hurt that we would prefer to live in pain and suffer, to continue. Look, these character defects, God didn't call them sins. Let's call them for what they really are. They are sins. But He didn't tell us not to do them because they're offensive to Him. The main reason why He told us not to do them is because they're damaging to us.
Yeah.
They damage us and those around us. You look at any one of those sins, take the 12 commandments, and look at any one of those commandments and don't do it, and see if you do not injure yourself or your neighbor or your spouse or your children or someone nearby you.
Yeah.
That's the reason why you're not supposed to do it. Not because you're so holy and everything, such a nice guy. Just stop hurting other people. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. I believe the way Christ boiled it down to try to make it real simple for, hey, you guys are having a hard time here. Let me make it real simple for you. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. And we can't seem to figure out how to do that.
No, no.
We always come up with some excuse.
All we need to do is ask, brother. But first, we must also take a break. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler of the 12 Steps for Christians, returning for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Paige, when I look at the 12 steps, in one respect, from one angle, there's the veneer of a mechanical enterprise. If I just do these 12 steps, I'm going to be okay. It's like, you know, going down a checklist and check each one off. But when we look at step 7 and it says we are to ask God for something, we've gone beyond the mere mechanical. We've entered into the realm of relational, haven't we?
And let me explain.
So, yeah.
The idea of the 12 steps is to get you in touch with God. Taking a person has no contact, no conscious contact with God, and ending up with a person who has established conscious contact with God. Then you go on to step 12 in the rest of your life, and you use that to the best of your ability. Right here is step 6. We're at the middle point of the 12 steps. And we changed from me doing the stuff that I need to do to clean up my house and get it ready for there to be communication with God. And at step 6, we turn the corner and we start establishing conscious contact with God. So becoming humbly ready to have God remove all of our shortcomings is the first step of humbling ourselves before God so he will lift us up. Then in step 7, when we realize the condition that we're in, we turn and we ask God specifically. For a specific, this is not a generic, oh God, take away all my problems. No. Each one of these things God will bring up to you at the right time in the right place, and you will have to deal with each one of your character defects, more than likely, I can speak for myself, one at a time.
Yeah.
And you will have to deal with them one, and you will have to, they're serial, and God will help you through. And will help you through the surgery and the recovery of each one before he starts on the next one.
Well, you know, the classic scenario of a man or a woman struggling with booze and smoking. So they're smoking 3 packs of unfiltered Camels a day, and they're drinking, maybe.
A handle.
A handle, there you go. all right, so you got to stop. So most people, if maybe there's the exception, but most people are going to stop the handle of booze. But for a while, they're going to have to carry on with the smoking.
Exactly.
You can only right. I don't think there are many people who are killing the smoking and carrying on with the handle. It doesn't really work that way, you know.
Really?
Rather self-defeating.
But I've heard of them, but they're rare.
Yeah, they're probably deluding themselves as well.
Exactly. You know?
But you can only handle so much. But then there's also another consideration. We can be aware, and it's very visceral if we're drinking and smoking. We can be very, very aware of that, and those around us are aware also. But the people around us may also be aware of shortcomings that you and I have yet to reckon with. We may not even be aware they're active.
Exactly.
But they are.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And they're doing damage. And we don't even know they're there. They have to become, as we peel, I call it peeling away the onion. At least for me, it was peeling away the onion. I would peel away one character defect, and there would be a glaring another one staring me in the face. And I would have to dig deeper. I would have to go deeper into my own personality. I'd have to understand more about myself and why I do these things in order to decouple that one. And underneath that, guess what? There was another glaring defect. Yeah. You know, I don't know if this is ever while you're walking on this earth, if you ever get past all of them. But the point is that you're in the process.
Yeah. It's interesting because in my role as a pastor, when I've gone into nursing home facilities or the like, assisted living complexes where there's a vastly older constituency. And with age, many people, their minds begin to diminish their mental capacity. And I've discovered something over 35 years as a pastor. Some of those women who were in our churches, I'm saying this gently, some of those lovely ladies who go back decades, they've been prim and proper, they've been ladylike, they would never use a foul word, even of the lesser variety. They probably never consciously looked directly at a man who perhaps was lovely to behold. But as they begin to mentally diminish, suddenly they're swearing like truck drivers. And I was in an elevator with one lady, and she was looking me up and down like I was a slab of meat. And I am not exaggerating. I couldn't wait to get off that elevator, you know. But there was something in them that had never come forth, but it was in them. They hid from it. They covered it over. They cemented it in like Jimmy Hoffa, you know, below a goalpost in New York. But it was there. And the Spirit of God needs to constructively bring all of that out.
Exactly. And he only through the Spirit of God can we actually, we can, as you point out, we can bury it. We can bury the appendicitis. We can take enough drugs to forget how painful it is. But that's not going to make the appendicitis go away. So we're good at burying pain. We're good at burying character defects and burying our problems, but dealing with them, we're not. Most people are not good at doing that. But if you'll follow the 12 steps or the Bible, whichever one you want to follow, because if you're following the Bible, then you're seeking the righteousness of God and His kingdom first, and everything else will be added unto you. That's the same thing as walking the 12 steps. This 12 steps is more like for somebody who has a little less can't grasp that seeking the kingdom thing. It needs a little bit more meat on it that you can grab onto.
Without minimizing the 12 steps, it's a kind of prelude or antechamber into a deeper experience of the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
If only because the 12 steps are extracted from the Word of God, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's in there. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, so it's leading you into that relationship with God.
Right. Well, I mentioned earlier, I think it was in my devotional, I was sharing the gospel with a friend of mine, a gentleman I've come to know over the past year. We've established a lovely rapport. He comes from a radically different background than do I, but a friendship has arisen, and the conversation unfolded the other day in a very natural way. And so my life is a kind of prelude or antechamber by which he can become more meaningfully exposed to the gospel and to the kingdom of God. You know, with the 12 steps, it's interesting to me. I didn't know what they were in 1975. It will be 49 years ago next month in August that I came to know the love and truth of Christ. Quite literally, Jesus visited me in the privacy of my bedroom, and he never left me. And I'm speaking literally, and that's a lifetime of explaining what I mean by it. But he literally entered my bedroom, greeted me, and I was stunned, but I couldn't have done without him. And it's interesting, over the next number of years, while I was in Boston from that moment in August of 75, I came down here, Christmas of 88. So that's a good 14 years or so. During that time, I didn't realize that the wisdom I asked for and he gave me that allowed me to break through lots of problems and obstructions and overcome many of these issues that we encounter with the 12 steps, I didn't know. It was like a five-year program. I had two of them. I had no idea the wisdom he was feeding me were effectively the 12 steps. The more I work these steps and the more you and I discuss them, the more I realize through the 70s and 80s, I was already working them because it's the word of God.
Exactly. And it doesn't change. God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if he's given me a message of salvation, it's going to be the same message that he's given to you of salvation. If he's bringing me out of my difficulties, it's going to be the same way he's bringing you out of your difficulties. He's got me in my furballs and my mixed up mental condition, which maybe I'm hiding a little better than somebody else, but God knows me for who I am. And he's the one who's working this. I'm working God's program, not my program.
And may I put it this way before we turn to a break? The number, we hear of the number seven being an anointed godly number because of biblical reasons. 12 is a consecrated number. 12 donuts, yes. 12 apostles, 12 steps, right? 12 steps.
Yep.
Praise God for every one of them. Brad Lacy and Brother Paige Steiner, we return for a final round, maybe with a dozen donuts in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacy, Brother Paige Steiner, returning with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother, something again, an extract from the book itself concerning Step 7. We read this. God initiates change when we are ready, and we cannot claim that we alone removed our character defects. When we learn to ask humbly for God's help in our lives, change becomes God's responsibility. We cannot accept the credit, but we can give thanks.
Amen.
I think that's beautifully stated, is it not?
Right. We can't accept the credit, but we sure can enjoy the benefits.
Yes, right.
We can enjoy the benefits. I mean, the difference in my life from before till now is so great. And this is all a gift of God. There's nothing to do with me. I wish I was this brilliant or this wise to create the life that God has given me. But God has given me a life of construction, a life of helping others, a life of feeling like I'm part, of something that's worthwhile. God's given me all that, not me. I couldn't construct it if I tried to.
Yeah.
So it is, it's all part of being something. It's all part of God's work. And you bring up a good point. Last week, we left everybody on a cliffhanger because we left with the prodigal son, if everybody will remember last week. We left with the prodigal son saying, I will turn and go. So he got up and went to his father. That's where we left it. That's a cliffhanger. That is in Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 20, verse 20. And did I get that right? Yes, verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. Boom. That's the cliffhanger right there. Here's the step seven. He gets up and goes to his father. The Bible leaves a lot of literary levity right there. Because in my mind, I see him going up this dark, lonely, forbidden trail with with robbers and murderers and killers and thieves and all sorts of degradation surrounded all around. He's going through there. He's hungry. He's penniless. He doesn't even have sandals on his feet. He's barefooted. He's barely clothed. I see him struggling. Yeah, and we might as well throw the wind and the rain and the snow and sleet and hail all at the same time. And that's, of course, that's my literary levity that I just took.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Come on now. It's your Marvel Comics mania. That's what it is. Too many Avengers movies.
Too many Avengers movies, right? But here's the good part. But God. I always love the phrase, but God. But while he was still a long way off, because in my mind, I don't think he has the strength to make the trip all by himself. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around his stinky neck, and kissed him. That's step seven.
Yeah. Yes.
That's step seven.
And may I put it another way, and this more the product of what others did to certain individuals, okay? I speak it with some degree of fear and trepidation, with just a profundity of respect. You stop and think about the American troops who came upon Dachau and Auschwitz and the sights that they saw that were beyond horrific description.
Wow.
You had men who had been so poorly treated by their captors that they were literally skeletons. Those human skeletons could not nurse themselves back to health. They needed the help of allied doctors and nurses and dietitians and therapists, no doubt. It would be a slow, steady progress back to health because of what the Nazis perpetrated on these poor victims. When we're dealing with the 12 steps, we're not simply poor victims. We have been horrific perpetrators as well. We've been an admixture. I think, you know, the old question of alcoholism, is it sin or disease? I think it's both. We're both perpetrator and victim. And so a slow, steady progress, feasting upon, being nourished upon the 12 steps as we cry out to God, and he walks with us and indwells us and directs us. That's the ticket, praise God.
Yep. Amen. And the thing is now beginning to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And letting God remove these things from us, move them into a place that is behind us. Because what God will do, he will take these character defects. He will remove them from our daily lives, but they will be there, as David said, ever before us. But the difference is that now he will use our character defects for the benefit of the kingdom of God. He will use them in order to help someone else overcome that character defect. Or he will use it for the benefit in some kind of way. For instance, if before we were greedy and we worked excessive hours because we wanted money, God will take that workaholism and convert it into volaholism and turn you into the volunteer from heaven that every charitable group would love to find, and have you be an exonerary worker toward peace and toward helping other people.
Yeah.
God makes that change.
You know, another one in a similar vein, although it's not a sin, I think it's a rather stellar character quality, but in a similar way. I've often seen a lot of mothers or women. Certain women have a proclivity towards hospitality. There are men who have the same. To take that hospitable proclivity that would be in a normative vein applied to family and friends or colleagues, apply it also now to the kingdom of God. You know,
right.
A lot of people entering a church for the first time, they're going to be a little bit nervous. They don't know what to expect. The last thing they need is a stereotypical conventional churchgoer to greet them, you know. I'm not meaning to be derisive, but they need someone who can help set them at their ease. It's, you know, just as you, brother, I mean, I've seen you in action as we close out the broadcast. I've seen you in action come alongside of men and women struggling with sin. You do so in a very gracious, a very tender, and a very, very hospitable way. People instinctively understand they can trust you. It's a beautiful thing to behold. It truly is. Then again, you are Brother Paige Tyler, 12-step guru extraordinaire. God bless you, brother. A joy to have you back on the broadcast.
Thank you, Bradley.
Okay.
Blessing to be
Brad
here.
Lacey. It truly is. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, we wish you God's grace and blessing in every way. Thank you.